Welcome to another episode of Romance Romp. I'm your host, Keeney Allen. Today, I have romantic suspense author Emily Duvall with me. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So first, give me a little introduction about how you got into reading romance.
So I got into romance reading when I was about 15 years old. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine loaned me the book Perfect by Judith McNaught. And it's a really great story. It's about a movie star who abducts a teacher, and they end up in a secluded cabin somewhere in the woods. And it's a great story. It's a great read. But more importantly, because of that book, I went out and I read everything else by her.
Okay.
And when I was done reading her books, I moved on to the other romance authors like Julie Garwood, Danielle Steele, Nora Roberts. And that's really how I got into reading romance, is from that one book.
Okay. So you said you were a teenager.
Yes.
So you and all your friends were reading romance at the time?
We did. It was a little ridiculous. We would actually pass them around, like, in the halls at school. We'd always have, like, a romance book pretty much in our backpack. Mm-hmm. We could be found at our lockers reading them. And, at the time, there wasn't a lot for young adult. Mm-hmm. The market definitely was not what it is today.
Sure.
So we had our classics that we were reading for school, for high school English, which are wonderful books. We also had, on the other hand, like Sweet Valley High, and Nancy Drew had just like got a reboot with like being, late 80s, early 90s. So it was more modern. Babysitter's Club. Beyond that, there just wasn't a lot for my age group. Definitely not what it is today.
Right. I definitely remember that because, I was in middle and high school in late 80s, early 90s, and there really wasn't much after I stopped reading Babysitter's Club to, at least for me, because I didn't find romance until I was much older. Like, I was probably, 19 or 20 when I found Danielle Steele.
Right.
Which, I don't know that she's technically romance, but still the same kind of, where she's generating a lot of books. They're very similar. They do have a love story, but I don't think they're technically romance. But, I definitely would have liked to have had the selection that is out there today, 20-some years ago. But, yeah.
In fact, I find that I actually read a lot of young adult books because I feel like there's some great stories out there and they weren't around back then, so I try to read every genre that I can, but it's great to see how much is out there for that. And I think about 15-year-old Emily, if I had had the selection back then, maybe I'd be writing a young adult. I don't know, but romance was what was available, so that's what I read, my friends read, and passed it to our moms. And
well, that's awesome. I was just going to ask, did your parents know?
At first, I don't know if we kind of felt like it was a dirty secret, like we're reading romance books. But then once I think, my mom saw that, hey, I'm reading something, then she's like, well, what's this book you're reading? So she started to read the stories, too. And so I would just pass the books to her.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So are you still in contact with any of those friends? Are they still romance readers? Do you know?
I'm not sure if they still are. But I know that when we think of high school, we could think of ourselves at our lockers with our romance books open.
So what is it that... 15-year-old Emily and current Emily, what is it that you really enjoy about romance books?
I think what I love most about romance is the tension. And I haven't been able to find it in any other genre, with just the push and the pull of a man and a woman and their fighting and their struggles. It's really, I read it and I want them to figure it out. I want them to work it out. And I keep going back to that, it's that struggle between the two characters is what I love the most.
Sure. I think actually my sister, who I got into reading romance, but she was asking me recently, she's like, what really defines a romance, actually, is my stepsister, versus, because a lot of books, almost all books, really, especially fiction, have some sort of element of a love story. And I was like, well, really, I think the difference is that in romance, the romance, the love story is centered. Right. That's what it's about. Right. And how they get there and how they work it out versus in other stories, in other fiction, they might also fall in love, but it's some other sort of journey or discovery. So, yeah, I mean, I think that that's what makes it so different. And you can read women's fiction or general fiction and people still fall in love and have sex and all that good stuff. But in romance, that's what it's all about.
It is. It's the central theme. Mm-hmm. And when you're writing it, it's easy to get carried away with like side plots, or maybe if it's a, you know, suspense novel, investigation or whatever's going on the side. Mm-hmm. But as a writer, you always have to bring it back to the story at the end of the day mm-hmm. is about a man and a woman mm-hmm. and their story. Mm-hmm. So that's really the central part of it. I don't think romance is so much about sex as people make it out to be.
Oh, I agree.
It's more about that journey and that tension of getting from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And as long as that romance is kind of like the central point throughout it, then you've got a romance book.
Sure. Yeah. I always try to describe it as like it's a love story. And a lot of the times it has sex in it.
Right.
And as a reader, those are the books that I prefer to read. But right. that's not, I also will read a romance where it's closed door or it's sweeter. Right. But again, I think that people kind of, you know, it's a misnomer. They think that there's just this like gratuitous sex in all of the books and that's all it's about. And right. it's not. But
yeah. And on that comment, the funny thing is that I've never met anyone who's had such a strong opinion about romance books. You know, I could have a young adult novel with me. People are like, what are you reading? That's great. Mm-hmm. As soon as I say, hey, I've got a romance novel here, it's either that's great or I don't read romance. Mm-hmm. And they're very, like, it's very opinionated. Mm-hmm. I've never come across that anywhere else.
Right.
And I always wonder why.
You know, I think at some point I'd like to have, like, a whole podcast about this. Seriously, because it's so interesting to me. But I think the biggest piece of it is, well, there's lots of levels. But I think the biggest piece is because people think that it's just about people having sex.
Right.
In fact, somebody here said to me one time, I don't read romance. They're so formulaic.
Right.
Okay. You know, but, you know, and she's a wonderful person.
Right.
But then she talks about how she reads these, like, fiction books, like mystery fiction. And, like, she's reading, I don't want to call her out, but, you know, she's reading one now where, like, the cat helps solve mysteries, which is great if that's what she enjoys. And it is not my intention to shame anybody for what they read, but it's like, mm-hmm. hold up. Like, you want to talk about formulaic and you're reading a book where a cat helps solve mysteries. Okay. Like.
Yes. People don't see that. Every book has a formula, or every genre has a formula, but there is something distinct about romance mm-hmm. that people feel so passionate about not reading. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I think it comes back to the sex. I mm-hmm. think people are maybe afraid of what they'll find. But I think, like you said, you know, there's a whole range of, you have like, you know, one kiss in a book, or mm-hmm. you have, you know, the other extreme. But yeah, it's so funny to me, too, because the formulas that they're talking about are out there with every book.
Right.
You know, every series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pick, you know, New York Times bestsellers, you know, where they're just cranking out, you know, books, right. you know, mysteries, whatever. They're based on the same formula, but right. it's just different. But that's a whole nother story for another day.
Another podcast, right?
Yes, like a whole, like a series even. But anyway, so yes. How did you transition to being an author? Like, when did you decide, like, I want to go from just reading this to writing this?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's funny because, so I read all that romance, all those books, mm-hmm. and then I just stopped reading
okay.
for close to like probably 8 or 9 years.
Oh, wow.
I just didn't read anything.
Okay.
School, life, work, whatever. And so I started picking it up again and I started reading. And by this time there was so much out there mm-hmm. and so much available that it's like, okay, I fell in love with reading again. Mm-hmm. And at that time I just realized, you know, I'd gone through a series of books and I said, I think I'm ready to try writing mm-hmm. and to just see what I can do. And going from a reader to a writer is a huge step. Mm-hmm. Something I don't think sometimes that, you know, with social media and everything, everyone has an opinion, everyone can write a review. But I think once you actually make that leap, mm-hmm. you definitely gain like more respect for just writers and authors and the industry itself. And so I happened to be staying at home with my son and started to have pockets of time opening up.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to some workshops, took some online classes with just, you know, like refreshing grammar and plot mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And I just buckled down and tried to write a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so much of writing is just doing that, just sitting down and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I kind of transitioned to it.
Yeah. Since I've been doing this and talking to authors, like, it always comes. Have you seen that documentary? It's like Love Between the Sheets, or
yes,
okay,
yes.
So there's a quote in there. Nora Roberts talks about getting your butt in the chair,
right?
And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, you can say that really about anything that mm-hmm. you're trying to do. You know, you just have to do it.
Yes,
if it's something you want to do.
That's right. And so for writing, especially because you need time.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are very intimidated by, well, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write a novel in a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, that really doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to be willing to say, I'm going to sit down for 10 minutes today and see what I can get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as time opens up, then you can write more.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, you know, even if I've like been away from writing for a few weeks or mm-hmm. a month, even for me, it takes a while. Like, okay, I got to get back into, you know, turning everything else off, shutting everything else off and just writing.
Sure. Kara McKenna, I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, mm-hmm. but she's an author that I read, and she just started like this author workshop type site or something. I'm not sure, but exactly how to classify it. But one of the things, you know, she takes, like, lets people write in and she'll answer their questions. And so somebody said, well, I have this goal of writing 2,000 words and it's so hard to achieve. And she was like, lower your goal. Like,
yeah.
Instead of 2,000, which feels like a lot, like, change it to 500 mm-hmm. and say, today I'm going to write 500 words. Or like you said, today I'm going to do 10 minutes of this.
Right.
And then, you know, be realistic about it. And you're balancing all these other yes. things. And then once you reach that, then, you know, set it to 12 minutes or whatever.
Right.
And just go from there. But
yeah. And in fact, when I, like before I wrote my first book, what I would do is, like, if I had 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
I would just put on the timer and write about whatever, mm-hmm. a random topic, just for 30 minutes. And then I would put it away.
Okay.
And that was a really good exercise to just, you know, sometimes when you're writing, you don't have to be going towards a goal,
mm-hmm.
but it's just to practice the craft of it.
Sure.
So, yeah, but you just small increments. That's mm-hmm. where it starts.
That makes sense.
Definitely.
So how long have you been an author?
So I've been an author about 5 years.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm learning more.
Oh, I'm sure.
With each book.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, I love writing.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I get caught up in where is it going and what's going to happen with it, I just remind myself that it's the writing that I love.
Sure.
And so anything else doesn't, you know, matter.
Okay. So you told me that you kind of define yourself like as a romantic suspense author.
Yes.
So why that genre? I'm not super familiar with Judith McNaught.
Okay.
But is that straight contemporary, or at least contemporary for its time? Is it suspense? And then how did you get to where?
No, so she started the whole Regency
okay.
genre. She's kind of like one of the founders of it. I started writing romantic suspense because every time I would try to write contemporary, it was really hard for me to keep the focus on just the main characters. That's a
okay.
lot of pressure. I always felt like with my writing, I just needed like something else to go with the story.
Sure.
So something mm-hmm. else. I try to give my characters problems to solve.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that the best problems are ones that, you know, are, you know, maybe investigation related
okay.
or, you know, just looking for something, some kind of mystery. So once I started to do that, I really like, hey, I really like writing this style.
Okay.
So
that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
So you brought a book with you today.
I did,
okay.
yes.
So you want to tell me a little bit about it, and then you can read a little bit from it?
Sure.
Okay.
So I brought my book Cut today.
Okay.
It's book 2 in the Flawless series. And what the whole series is about are three brothers who own a high-end jewelry store.
Okay.
And each book is a tale of their situation, whatever happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular book, a set of diamonds have gone missing from a tiara.
Okay.
And my two main characters, Brent and Jesse, don't like each other.
Oh, enemies to lovers.
Yes. And both of them kind of suspect the other person of knowing where these diamonds are. And the clip I'm going to read today is when they just kind of start to realize maybe the other person isn't being 100% truthful.
Okay. Ooh, I'm excited. I love enemies to lovers.
Me too. Brent saw the defiance in her eyes. She was thinking this very second how to counter the argument. Her skin glowed, her cheeks bloomed pink. Anger brought about color in her face, something he found sexy and hard to turn down. It took everything in him to resist those lush lips of hers. He fought against his natural born urges as a man to not take her in his arms and carry her to his bed. He walked away before he made any more mistakes. For starters, he didn't accept the random fact about her grandmother's bracelet. The proof was on her face as she had told him that lame story. The fact that she suddenly took up an interest in diamonds made him distrust her motives, all the more. Jessie was a liar. She knew how to do it well, and he wouldn't let her get away with it, not with him. The most valuable piece of the Abbott tiara was a green diamond, and it was missing. Up until she walked through his door, he had no idea where to begin to look for it. Now he sensed Jessie was either hiding the very thing he needed or knew about the diamond's whereabouts. If she had one of the diamonds, then she might know the location of the other six. Or maybe she had all of them. He would have to find out what she knew, but first, he'd get her to trust him. The situation required a calculated approach going forward. It was possible Melanie had tipped her off somehow. The question of how stumped him. The Cahill sisters didn't communicate. According to drunk Jessie, they remained on bad terms. And Melanie refused to allow Jessica into her life. That should make the situation easy to solve. Instead, their rift further complicated the entire scenario. All of the pieces didn't fall where they needed to be. His only tip was Jessica showing up at his door asking for an engagement ring she didn't want to wear.
Ooh, okay. Thank you for reading that. Yes. So, are you traditionally published, indie published, hybrid?
Yeah, I'm published with a small press.
Okay.
And so far, that's been a good experience for me, especially for, I guess, living in a time where there's many authors, there's many competitors. Mm-hmm. I think you do what you can to get your foot in the door, and it's been a nice experience.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, okay, so then I was going to say, like, so once you publish a book, like, how have you gone about, like, finding readers, building an audience?
So that's been the hardest part.
Okay.
You know, when I started this, somebody told me that it's not getting your book published that's the hardest part. It's getting your audience, marketing, promoting. Mm-hmm. And that is definitely the case. You know, you can only use social media to a certain extent with building your audience and finding readers. What I've found is word of mouth, you know, kind of asking friends who like the book to, hey, pass it on to somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's really where it started for me.
Okay.
Yep.
So, do you do this full time now? Like author promoing?
I do that as much as I can.
Okay.
It's not my full time job.
Okay.
But, I as much energy and effort I can put into it, I do.
Sure. That makes sense. Yes. I mean, I'm sure there's also a fine line between doing it and letting it consume you.
Yes, and I think every author at some point reaches that decision where you're like, do I want to keep doing this? Is this worth all this time and the effort? But again, like what I said earlier, for me it comes back to the writing.
Mm-hmm.
That if it's not, you know, out there in everybody's living room, that's okay as long as I'm writing stories that I like and I feel proud about and I put out there.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, interesting, I followed you on Facebook recently, and I saw that you decided to just have one Facebook.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I can totally understand that, yeah. Because it's, even for me, like, I try to balance my personal I don't use Facebook all much, more like Twitter.
Right.
But so trying to balance my own Twitter, plus trying to do stuff for this, for Romance Romp and stuff, it's a little tedious.
It is. And you know what? It sucks the soul right out of you if you let it. So, yeah, I decided that for 2017, I'm consolidating my social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people that follow me on my romance Facebook page were already my friends anyway. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put everything in one spot and see how it goes.
Sure.
Yeah.
So do you use a pen name?
I do not.
Okay. So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking it's probably a lot easier to do, to consolidate, if you're not using a pen name.
Right. For me, it is.
Right. No, I mean, I think.
Right.
Because I mean, I don't know why everybody, I think everybody uses a pen name for their own particular reason. Mm-hmm. So if you take that out of the equation, it's a lot easier to say, like, this is just all my stuff. Like, right. I am who I am.
Exactly.
I'm a writer. Yeah. I'm a whatever. I'm all these things. You either like right. it or you don't.
And even like with not having a pen name, it can get a little crazy because you can have your, you know, I have my Instagram account, mm-hmm. but I can also have a personal Instagram account, mm-hmm. and you know, same with Twitter, you can have multiple accounts for everything. It mm-hmm. just gets to be a little crazy. So.
Yeah, I'm like, did I post it on this one? Exactly. Let me repost it on that one because I have more followers over there.
Exactly.
You know, and, yeah.
Yes.
I get it completely. So, you mentioned that the book cut is part of a series. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've been seeing, like, as a reader, is that more and more books are part of a series. So as an author, do you feel like in order to kind of be a part of the marketplace and reach readers that you have to write a series, or like what?
Well, there's two answers to that question. Mm-hmm. You know, everything I read from publishers and agents, I hear you need a series. Mm-hmm. They never say why, mm-hmm. but it's just that you need one. For me as a writer, I decided to do a series because I just wasn't done with the story.
Okay.
And I think that for some writers, there's a mix of both where they, you know, maybe they have a book deal and they need to do a series. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, I just wasn't finished with the story. Mm-hmm. So that's the road I took. But I could see how you can get a little out of hand with mm-hmm. every book has to be a series. And that's definitely I see it a lot more as well, too. And it's overwhelming as a reader because I feel like maybe I can't just read one book. I have to read all three. And mm-hmm. then it becomes like a daunting task. And how many series? I just started the Lunar Chronicles.
Okay.
It's like I just wanted to read the first one. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, now I got to finish all of them.
Right.
I have to put off all these other books I'm going to read because I got to get through the whole series.
Yeah. I'm mixed on series. Like, I enjoy them because, yes. you know, there's a little bit of a comfort to it. Like, I already know these people,
right.
or some of the people or some of the surroundings or whatever. But then one of the, like, when I heavily got into reading romance, one of the first series I was reading was Susan Mallory.
Oh, yes.
Fool's Gold, I think that's what it was. And, you know, by, like, the seventh one, I was like, oh, my God, like, I can't handle this anymore. But
right.
I had to, like, stop reading it. But I still had that level of interest, though, in them. So
right.
I don't know. I think I more enjoy, like, a 3 or 4 part series,
yes.
book series, and then that's it, you know, and some yeah. of these. But I think also, like, different genres, like, I think a more extended series tends to be more prevalent in, like, paranormal.
Right.
See, I don't read paranormal, but from, like, the outsider, that's what I see, at least some of, like, these bigger books. They're, like, on book, like, 19 or something.
Like, right, right.
Oh, my gosh.
As a reader, you're like, I'm done with this relationship. Like,
right.
I have to close this book, and I'm not moving on with,
right.
with another one. Yeah.
Right, or as somebody, like, an outsider looking in, like, thinking, oh, wow, maybe that book sounds interesting, but do I have to go back and read
right.
18 other books
yes.
before I can get to this book? Because I'm not going to do that.
And I, in all truthfulness, there are some books I have not read because of that fact. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, I just can't commit to a series right now.
Right. Especially if it's like double digits like
right.
that. Like,
and if it's a good book, I know I'm going to like not get anything done mm-hmm. and push everything off. Because once I start a book, if I'm enjoying it, it's like I, mm-hmm. I shut everything else out. I have to finish it.
Well, yeah. Like, I think that's a pretty common trait amongst all the romance readers that I've talked to so far is that like once we start, it's like, what do you mean I have to go to work? Like,
right.
or
right.
It's 2 a.m. I have to get up at 6.
Lights like, on.
Right.
Read
hey,
the book.
Yeah. It's like, I'm busy right now reading. But yeah. So, but yeah, it's a very interesting thing. But, you know, as a reader, I sort of enjoy series. But sometimes when I do reviews, I try to be very clear. Like, this is part of a series. It can't be read.
Yes.
And I hate it when an author doesn't tell me, like, that I need to read other books. Or they'll say, oh, this stands alone well, and then that's not true.
Right. It's not the truth.
Right. Not the truth at all. So let's see here. What else was I going to say? Oh, so as far as like with building an audience, do you ever go to any conferences or book signings or anything like that? Or
I do some book signings, just usually at local places around the area. I try to have my books in the local bookstores where I can. And I'm part of the Maryland Romance Writers, so I'm, you know, new to that, but I can see they have a lot of conferences, and there used to be one at Hagerstown Community College, Romance Writers, Fiction. It was with Nora Roberts a couple years ago. I attended that one, and my favorite thing about that is just meeting the authors and hearing their perspective, because I feel like what they go through is what I go through.
Sure.
With just... they're struggling too to try to reach an audience. Everybody is kind of trying to grasp for some attention that, you know, everyone's overwhelmed with social media or buy this or get that. And everyone's going through it.
Sure.
So that's good to hear that I'm not the only one.
No, and I can't imagine that you are. And like as a reader, sometimes it's like, I mean, I use Twitter almost exclusively for finding out about new books and stuff. And it can be really hard to find something new or different, or, you know, if I've discovered like I like certain things or certain things about certain authors, but of course they're not putting out books every week or twice a week.
Yes.
So, you know, at some point you exhaust kind of the things that you've read, and, you know, trying to find something new or slightly different can be a really daunting task.
Yes.
Because there are so many authors, and but so many good authors too, but it's just, it's hard to find, like, unless they're the Nora Robertses or whatever, where, you know, their book comes out and everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because I have my authors that I'll stick with, but even for me, it's like, I try to read authors that I'm unfamiliar with. And in doing that, sometimes I've read a lot of bad books that are just not there. And so then I kind of go back to the other authors. And it's hard to find like that happy medium of I'm looking for new stuff, but I know I'm gonna like what this person writes.
Yeah.
But then you run into the thing where you see they're writing the same thing, you know. So yeah, there's a lot of good authors out there, and I try to read authors I've never heard of. But it's hard to find them, and that's where, like, maybe another writer, I'll get their advice. Like, hey, who are you reading these days?
Yeah, and it's hard because, like, for me, I'm always like, when should I stop reading this book? Because I hate it, or I just don't like it. And it's so hard because it's like, I want to give a new author a chance, or at least a new-to-me author. And, you know, but I'm like, if this book is stupid, or it just has some sort of theme that really is dry, you know, is just rubbing me the wrong way.
Yes.
I'm trying to be better about it, but then, you know, it's just like a never-ending cycle.
So I give my books till chapter 7.
Oh, okay.
And that's like my cutoff if I'm reading it, and I can't, because I feel like, you know, sometimes, you know, you have the whole first 3 chapters, you get the hook, or, you know, you move on from that. I feel like sometimes the authors don't always do that, which is great. But then I give them till about chapter 7, and if I'm still not into it, I'm like, you know what, this is over. Close the book and...
Just move on. No, that's a good policy. I don't, you know, and sometimes like when I talk to other people on Twitter, they'll say, I read until 10% or 15% or chapter 7. And I've never found like a good, I don't know.
It's hard. It's a hard thing to do.
Sometimes I know, like, I can tell like right away, like, this is dumb. Like,
yes.
And, you know, I cannot tolerate any. But in fact, I'm reading a book now and I'm like, am I going to keep reading this? Think so, like, maybe I'll give it one more chapter to see if it gets better. The heroine is really unlikable, and I think she's written that way, and so I keep wanting to see if I'm ever going to like her, because, you know, we're super hard on the heroines.
Yes,
it would seem like as a theme in this community, it seems like we're super hard on the heroines.
Well, I will speak up for the unlikable heroines. I think those ladies get a bad rap in some ways. It depends how they're written. But I think that sometimes those characters are so not like what's like the standard out there. I think if they're done in the right way, you realize that, hey, they're a person, I can like them. But I think sometimes they show real strength in the characters. I think that it's very hard for authors to do that, to mm-hmm. write an unlikable lady mm-hmm. and know that this might not go the way they want it to go. But I think that also shows courage on the writer's sure. behalf. But yeah, for me, it's more the male character. If mm-hmm. the male character isn't like alpha or really strong, he makes the story for me. So for me, the heroine's always a little bit secondary mm-hmm. when I read a story. So I'm usually not so much concerned about her, but him, for me, that's like, if he's mm-hmm. unlikable, then I have a hard time yeah. with the story. But yeah, you have to, you know what you like and, mm-hmm. and what, you know, but I just wanted to point out that I think sometimes those characters are so different from what you've like been used to seeing in romance books that sometimes it can be like a front, you know, you're just like, I want to like this person, but mm-hmm. you know.
No, and I, the author that was here last week, you know, we talked about it, and I really enjoy a book that kind of challenges like those norms
yes.
within romance. You know, one that like if she's like had sex with somebody else,
or, right, right,
or yeah. even like in the. I mean, I enjoy those because I feel like they're a little bit more like life, and yeah. like real life is messy, love is messy, even when it's good, it yes. still can be yes. messy. So I don't dislike an unlikable heroine, but right. I just haven't figured out if she's writing it very well.
Right.
I think that's what I'm struggling with. I just listened to a book over the weekend by Julie James, who I really, really like. She writes funny, you know, witty characters. And the hero was very unlikable to me. And so I was like, I don't really like this
right,
book.
Right, right. Yeah, yes. That's, I mean, yeah, it comes down to the characters and the plot, and it all kind of works together. But yeah, I think like what you said, that the romance in the books, everything is messy, bad mm-hmm. timing, communication's terrible. I mean, and you just have to figure out, like, can I really like this person till the end of the book?
Right.
Am I going to give them a chance? And if I'm not going to, I'm going to close the book, you know, for me, chapter yeah. seven.
But chapter seven is done. That's
but, you
awesome.
Know, yeah.
So, okay. So, how, I imagine, like, how does your family feel about, like, you writing romance, like your husband, your kids, do your kids know, stuff like that? I mean, I'm sure they're supportive, but do they realize, like, that you're writing romance?
So I will tell a funny story about my kids. My son is 7 and he's just starting to read.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have my laptop open some of these days, and he'll be sitting next to me, and he'll kind of like, you know, lean his head over, and he'll start to read and point out words. And mm-hmm. I just slyly like close the lid on the laptop. I'm like, this mm-hmm. is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
The kids, I think they don't quite understand. My husband just kind of, you know, he's a good supporter, but I think he kind of chuckles at mm-hmm. like, oh, she writes romance. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, I'll let him read what I'm writing, and he'll definitely, you know, chime in with, no, 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 you know, a man would never say this, you know.
It's not the point. But,
exactly. So
<Tell you what.
laughs> I think they just kind of smile. My mom knows I've always read it, mm-hmm. so she's not really surprised that I'm writing it. But yeah, I think they just kind of smile, like, oh, my daughter writes romance, you mm-hmm. know, giggle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of a, I think that's also part of, like, the romance thing to it. You know, like, if, you know, they don't always understand it.
Right.
So, you know, I was talking about the guys here. So they label my podcast under softcore porn. Just in-house, not anywhere else.
Yes.
That's just the folder that they yes. use. And I'm like, they just don't get it.
They don't. Again, it yes. goes back to that's all romance is.
Right. So, so I let them. And I mean, I think it's funny. But then it also sparks to be like, I mean, guys, that's not what it is, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, I keep telling everybody here, I'm like, if you tell me a little bit about like what you like to read or what you're into, I can find you a romance. Whether or not you'll like it is a different story. But I can find something for
yes.
you on through the whole spectrum of like
exactly.
steamy, sweet,
yes.
extra steamy, whatever. So I'm still trying to get them to take me up on it.
And like what I feel like they don't realize is, you know, let's say you're a thriller
mm-hmm.
Addict and that's all you read. I mean, there's some really gory, raunchy stuff mm-hmm. in there. And so it's like you pit that against romance and it's like, they both have their two evils,
right?
You know, and so it's the same thing. It goes back to it's in so many other genres,
mm-hmm.
and I'm starting to think you need to do the podcast with why people don't read romance.
Oh, it's on my list. You know, and it's so interesting because like, I've been reading romance pretty heavily for about, like, 8 years. So I didn't really talk about it to anybody for, like, a good 6 years of it. And then slowly, you know, people say, I think the evolution of it is e-readers. Mm-hmm. And being able to just access books so quickly, and nobody needs to know, nobody cares. So last year I did this thing here, and so I did a project and had to go up in front of all the people and tell my, I read romance and all this stuff. But, you know, I gathered all this information, and to be able to say, yeah, I read romance, and so do all these other people. In fact, it brings in $1 billion a year. And people are like, what? I'm like, yeah. You know, and then when you just pull the stats about, like, who's reading, who's writing, it's just, it's mind-boggling, you know, like, smart women, like, yes, you know, are reading it, writing it, and part of this whole community. And it's, so now, like, when people kind of, like, chuckle, I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. Like,
everyone, you know, there's so many people that are, like, closet romance mm-hmm. fans. Everyone from, you know, like, the old ladies at the church mm-hmm. to, you know, the teenagers. And like you said, you can find whatever you want in the genre, mm-hmm. whether you want it to be sweet or steamy, and people are reading it, and yeah, they never talk about it.
Right. They don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And, like, my step-grandmother, she's, like, she'll be 92. She loves reading Debbie May Comer.
Yes.
So she has exhausted almost all the books, so I had to help, like, find some other similar authors, because she likes that series. Debbie May Comer writes a lot of, like, series and stuff like that. But, you know, she's also 90, almost 92. So I think she likes them pretty clean. So yeah. I was like, okay, this will be a little bit of a challenge. And my mom was like, do you think she would want to listen to your podcast? I'm like, I don't know. It might be a little much for her, but it's there. And, you know, so I think she's 90. I'm going to guess she didn't just find romance.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
I think she's been reading it for probably quite some time, you know, but and that's, like, another thing. So when I was looking up all these stats, like, it said that, you know, a majority of romance readers have been reading for, like, 20 plus years. Yes. So it's like, oh, OK, this isn't something that we just started.
Yes.
It's not just a fad. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been doing this for a long time. We collectively. But, you know, you said yes, you've been reading since you were 15.
Yes, and, you know, there's so many authors now and so many books out there that it's not just the same, you know, 9 or 10 authors.
Right.
So it's funny, like, with social media, if I post a picture of, like, an old romance book mm-hmm. that I read, I'll get people that'll write back and say, like, hey, you know, I'm passing this on to my daughter, or we passed this around to all our aunts and, mm-hmm. you know, my mom. And it's like people just recycle these stories that they started out mm-hmm. reading. It's just like classic literature. People yep. just handing down their favorite story.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, if I had never read that book, I don't know if I would have been a romance junkie. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, just maybe starts with whatever book you're introduced to early
probably
on.
Or there's just that one where it, like, yes, flicks the light bulb, like, yes, oh, okay.
Yeah, I would say romance readers are very loyal in that I think a lot of them stay within that genre. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll read other genres occasionally, but romance is my favorite, so that's what I keep coming mm-hmm. back to.
Yeah, I read romance almost exclusively now. Like, sometimes I'll read, like, a women's fiction or whatever. But, you know, I think my mom has always, she's given up, like, trying to give me other book recommendations because I'm like, I'm not going to read that because I know what makes me happy as a reader. So I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah. And it's kind of a letdown once you go to other, yeah, other type of genres.
Yeah. It is a little bit of a letdown. You know, I will listen to, like, a lot of, like, nonfiction books, like, on tape and stuff here at work. But, like, as far as reading actually goes, yeah, I'm like, this is what I like. This is what mm-hmm. makes me happy. I know I'm going to enjoy it, probably. yeah. And if I don't, I can find another book very quickly that I will enjoy.
Yes.
So, you know, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone with it. But, yeah. So one thing, I think we kind of touched on it a little bit, but another thing that I like to ask about is kind of, like, either as a writer or a reader, have you experienced, like, any sort of, like, overwhelming kind of, like, shame moment where somebody tried to shame you for being or look down on you for being a romance reader or writer?
No, I can't say. I don't think anyone has ever made me feel that way personally. You know, sometimes you get feedback or reviews mm-hmm. or something like that, and you're like, oh, I didn't know that that's how you would interpret something. Mm-hmm. But I'm proud of what I write, mm-hmm. And being a part of this genre. So if someone tries to make me feel that way, I'm just going to say, you know, go read something else.
I know. I've gotten to the point, you know, before I would be like apprehensive or would be kind of like apologetic about it. But I'm not being apologetic about things anymore these days, you know. And it's not shameful. Again, it goes to that whole other thing. But, you know, it's, I think a big part of it is because women, I mean, because it's women writing for other women. So a lot of people, you know, they like to downplay what we do. But that's a whole nother story.
And I think, too, that, you know, women have obviously come a long way in everything we do. Mm-hmm. And maybe sometimes people feel like the romance genre kind of holds a woman back, mm-hmm. you know, but a lot of the heroines in the story are, you know, doctors, lawyers, mm-hmm. smart women. It's no longer they're, you know, getting their bodice ripped off.
Right.
You know, they've progressed too. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, some of the population hasn't seen that. They still think that they're, you know, heroines from, you know, 30 years ago.
Right. I agree. They that's what they have in their mind. They have like those bodice rippers where the books are kind of rapey.
Yeah.
And, you know, like problematic versus today, although there's still probably tons of books that are problematic. But there's also, I think, like, you know, a lot of like books that maybe aren't inherently feminist, these stories are driven by women, like, you know, and they're not, it's not the too stupid to live heroine that's waiting for a man to save her. You know, she's got a life.
Yes. And I think those kind of stories are the ones that get criticized most today because they haven't moved on mm-hmm. from a different time.
Right.
But yeah, I think heroines have come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of readers who kept with it have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And those who haven't, you know, are still, like I said, stuck.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have anything big coming up in 2017?
So I just finished the third book in this Flawless series, which I'm very excited about. It's called Carrots. So the carrot of mm-hmm. a diamond. Each book has something to do with a diamond. Cut is about the cut of a diamond, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so I've just turned that in. So I'm hopeful that'll be out, you know, sometime this year and I can have my first series behind me.
That's awesome. Yeah. And are you working on something else already or are you just kind of like taking a break?
Well, I always have ideas. In fact, it's funny because when I'm writing one book and like I'll have two or three ideas about another book, it's like, what do I work on? Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to be working on right now? So I'll take some of those ideas and give them some thought because there's always a difference between, hey, I have a good idea and can I really make this last for 300 pages?
Mm. So I think it was Melinda Valentine that was in here last time, two times ago. She was saying she's a pantser, which until like a month ago, I don't even think I would have, like somebody would have said that to me out of it. Like, okay, like just nodded and been like, okay. But I guess now that's like somebody that just doesn't write the outline, just kind of like writes by the seat of their pants.
Yes.
So, would you say you're a pantser or what's the other one? What's the opposite of that? So
just like an outliner.
Or an outliner.
I am definitely a pantser.
Oh.
I tried outlining in the beginning and I would like get so frustrated because I would like start changing the story. So then I'd go and change my outline and I started realizing I'm wasting all this time on the outline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely seat of my pants. The idea comes to me and I want to incorporate it. I'm like, yep, this is where the story is going. Which causes some problems because then it's like, you know, halfway through the book, I'm like, well, this doesn't really match up with what happened at the beginning of the book. So, all right. So I shall try to like write through and then go back and try to make everything work.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely a pantser. Okay. Definitely.
I'm not a writer, so that means nothing to me. okay. So your book, Carrot, will be out in 2017.
Carrots. Yep.
2017. Awesome. We'll have to look for that. So outside of romance, reading and being an author, do you have any other like hobbies that you're really into? Or it's okay if you don't feel pressured.
I don't think so.
That's okay.
I mean, I'm an avid reader. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's part of my hobby. It's pretty much writing takes up a lot of energy. It takes up a lot of space in my heart, so that's what I devote my time to.
I understand. So, other than what you have coming out in 2017, are there any like big books that you're looking forward to reading this year, or do you just kind of read them as they come along?
I'm curious to see what's going to be hot this year. Mm-hmm. I always feel like a few months after January is when the market is really like telling us like, hey, you know, this is the big theme for this year. So mm-hmm. I'll see what it is and then, you know, try to pick up some authors that mm-hmm. are in writing in that and doing a good job.
That's interesting. Yeah. I went to the Baltimore Book Festival in mm-hmm. September. And I think it was Erica Kay. They did like a panel on like trends, like upcoming trends and stuff. So it was very interesting to see like from the author perspective, like what the authors were seeing as like what publishers were looking for and stuff. And, you know, as a reader, one of the things I hope in 2017 is that there's like more older heroines or characters just in general because, you know, I'm not 28.
Right.
I mean, I will read new adult and not very often young adult, but I do like to see characters that are a little bit older, like 30. 32. That might be pushing it. No.
And that's funny because, like, the older I get, mm-hmm. I realize the less I have in common with, like, that 25, 26 mm-hmm. you know, age group. So I feel like I've been starting to be more mindful of that. Like, mm-hmm. can I even create a character that's that young? Because I don't really identify maybe with things that they're going through. Mm-hmm. So maybe as the authors get older, then so what you're hearing.
You would think, but I don't know. It just seems like the new adult is just that subgenre is just growing, which is great, and I do read some new adult, but
and that has like exploded mm-hmm. recently, the new adult, and I've just started reading some books like by Jamie McGuire,
okay,
and like Colleen Hoover mm-hmm. and some of those people, and yeah, that genre came like out of nowhere mm-hmm. but I did hear one time that whatever is your favorite to read or to write, you just stick with it, and eventually the market will, you know, this year that might be popular, mm-hmm. and then maybe it'll come around, like, 7 years from now. It'll
right.
be, you know, the next thing. So you just stick with it, and, you know, eventually yeah. it'll be the hot trend.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that there's so many readers. You know, I think that, again, there's so many readers. There's just so many options, and whatever you write, people are going to find it, and hopefully, eventually.
Yes.
You know, and it's out there. They'll, you know, and the hope is that they'll find it and like it and go from there. But yeah, there's even within like the subgenres, there's like offshoots of all of those.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't even like just as a reader, sometimes it's overwhelming to be like.
It is. Readers have so much to choose from now. Mm-hmm. And like I tell some of my friends, it's like the best time to be an author and it's the worst time. And same for a reader.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have so many choices. Mm-hmm. And like what we were saying earlier, you tend to stick with who you know because you don't want to take the risk of,
right.
you know, reading five bad books in a row.
Right. Right.
So it's like there's access and there's availability, but then everything's just so oversaturated that it's hard for even me as a reader, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think about myself as a reader, like 3 years ago, I would read kind of on demand. Like I'd find a book, I'd read it and then find another book and then read it. You know, fast forward to now, I have like so many books that I can't even look at my Kindle on my TBR, you know? And it's like, you know, somebody said the other day, oh, this book was really good. I think you'll really like it. I'm like, well, it's $2. I mean, I might as well put it on my list. You know, but I mean, I might get to it in like a month. That would actually be a good scenario.
Yes.
Yeah. So and so sometimes it's like I want to read all these books, but I really only have so much time in a day.
Yes.
And I want to be supportive of authors and stuff and be like, especially if it's on sale.
Right.
But yeah, the reader struggle is very real.
Struggle. Yes. I like that.
It is. But I mean, it's like if these people could just stop putting out all these good books for like a week.
I need a break.
Yeah. Or where to start again. But anyway, so do you have, other than the Judith McNaughton book, do you have another favorite romance book or author, or you just kind of like them all?
I really like K.A. Tucker.
Okay.
She does some romantic suspense, some contemporary. I just really love her style.
Mm-hmm.
I think in any author that I like, it goes back to the tension.
Mm-hmm.
Is the tension there? If the writer has done that, they have my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I will put them on the shelf again and again. Okay. So that's one author that I think of that I'm always flipping the pages really fast mm-hmm. with her books.
I think I've seen her books around, but I also don't read a ton of romantic suspense. I think I probably read a couple early on that were horrible, and it probably just, you know, ruined it all for me.
That can definitely happen.
Yeah. Some like over the top suspense mm-hmm. and it's like, I can't handle this. But I've slowly incorporated some more that really kind of the suspense is there, but it's not like the main thing. I don't know how to describe it, but
yes, it can be done in a way that it's subtle mm-hmm. and not overwhelming in the book.
Right.
Those are great. Mm-hmm. Those are great reads.
Yeah. I'll definitely have to look that up. Let me make a note. K.A. Tucker.
Yeah.
I always like to look at new authors to me. Okay. So I think that was all I had for today.
Okay.
Again, thank you so much for coming in and chatting with me. I really appreciate
it. This was great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Romance Romp is produced by Graham Cullen, Chris Sands, and me. Join me next week as I sit down with a few special guests as we discuss Kristen Ashley.